I do it because it annoys you. It's,
it does annoy me.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we talk with local writer Rob Callahan. He's a recently out atheist, and he just went to the Creationist Science Fair.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I am one of your hosts, Molly Glover. I'm joined by my husband, Nick.
Hi.
And Tim Wick.
I'm over here.
And today we have Rob Callahan as our guest. Hi, Rob.
Hi, that's me.
Rob is a recently out atheist and a writer.
Yes.
Excellent.
Yeah. Welcome to the show.
Yeah.
An interesting observation for the listeners, because I didn't know this was the case, but they actually play that song every week before we start the podcast.
Live.
It's true.
I assumed it was taped.
Jeffrey just comes down to the basement, he plays it,
yep.
And I sing it.
Tim keeps him chained to the washing machine.
He requires four fish sticks, and then he's good to go.
Yep. It's cheap labor. You got to admire it.
Yeah. It's really more like slavery. I mean, he can't leave if he wants to.
But he does get fish sticks.
Yeah. There are fish sticks.
He loves fish sticks.
He does. He loves the fish sticks.
All right, so hi, Rob.
Oh, wow.
Hi.
So you are a recently out atheist.
Yes.
How recently?
It was actually for this article. As I was writing it, I assumed that it would lend it more credibility if I, said in the article that I don't believe in any of this nonsense, but I'm going there to take a look at it anyway. And I think that was actually, the editor knew I was an atheist when he accepted the pitch. And I think he was expecting me to be much more controversial and sort of condescending in the article.
And this is an article about the Creationist Science Fair?
Yes.
That you wrote for Vitamin?
Yes.
Which is hilarious.
Yeah.
Creationist Science Fair,
It seems like a contradiction in terms.
Right.
So did you...
Just seem like it.
Did you come out then before it was published?
No, it was like, the headline of it was Atheist Goes to Creationist Science Fair.
Oh, okay.
And that was the coming out.
Did you get, did people contact you
with surprise? I expected things to happen. I expected to, have a couple hundred unfriends on Facebook. And, people sending me Bible verses and asking why I'm angry at God and all this. But it was more like just, Sulu telling everyone he's gay. Like,
yeah.
We all knew already.
Yeah.
Apparently, I was the only person who didn't know it was public knowledge yet.
Sure. That's cool.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's probably the best you could hope for.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's not bad.
So you went to the Creationist Science Fair.
I really want to hear about the Creationist Science
Fair.
I got to be really honest about that. I need to understand
what was it?
What makes it a Creationist Science Fair?
Well, as near as I can tell, a couple of things. Because I was researching their website before I actually went out. And the website sort of suggested that prayer is a valid step in the scientific method.
out of curiosity, which step did they say? Where?
I think it comes just before lie.
Is this like pray for the outcome I'm hoping, or like pray for accurate results, or like pray that there's not my study mice don't get contaminated? Or
they did have like their scientific method was like 12 steps long. It was just huge. And,
wow.
And one of them was witness to non-believers who come by your displays.
That's part of the scientific
that
method.
That was part of their scientific method.
That's part of the science fair here.
Was when people come by to ask you about your whales or your dog skeletons or whatever you've got your display on, is you have to tell them all about God.
Wow.
If they're a non-believer, I don't know how you can tell, because I was at the fair for a while before anyone noticed I was writing in a notebook, and then people got kind of skittish.
Wait a minute, that one's literate. Let's get him.
You're saying is your cutie mark hasn't come in with the atheist logo on it.
Right, right.
I didn't. Wow. That's a nerdy pull.
That was.
Yeah. I would think they'd be able to tell.
A Milo Pony joke for y'all.
I would think they would be able to tell, just by your aura. I mean, atheists have a different aura.
Black.
Yeah, black.
Dripping with miasma.
Black like our non-existent souls or something like
my
that.
My hair is long enough, it covers the horns.
Ah, that's, you're lucky.
Clever there.
That's helpful.
Man, what were some of the exhibits that people had set up?
I will say that in general, there were 21 exhibits, and there was only one that was really blatantly trying to prove the Earth is 6,000 years old. and the others, they had varying degrees of competency in doing an experiment and talking about it, and they were all age ranges of kids, too, from like 6 on up to 18.
That's so sad.
Most of them were trying to do science, and a few of them were doing all right. There was one kid who had just lifted his experiment from sciencebuddies.org, which is a secular website, oddly. And he had a great display, and he was super excited to talk about his stuff. And he was one of the kids, and there were a few of them there, who didn't mention God once. Like, and they all have to have a Bible verse slapped on their display, and they're supposed to talk about the Bible verse. And he didn't want to go anywhere near it. He also didn't care that much about science. He just cared about how awesome whales are, because his thing was about whales. So he'd start to talk about his experiment, and then he'd just interrupt himself and go off about, did you know this about whales? And this and this. And awesome. He was actually my favorite kid.
Yeah, as a whale nerd.
Because he wasn't taking a side either way. He was just there to do something he thought was cool.
He just wanted to talk about whales.
He's just a kid, man. Like, he's not a chess piece in your biblical war.
And I kind of got the impression, although most of the families there were homeschooled because they were hyper-religious, it seemed like there were a couple that were just like, you know, affluent ex-hippies who didn't want to do the public school thing, and maybe one of the parents stays at home, or they both do. And so they're just doing homeschool because they think they can do a better job. And this kid was one of them. That, you know, he just sort of slapped the Bible verse on because you have to, or they won't let you into the fair, which is a whole other thing, you know?
Yeah.
You have to have a Bible verse.
You have to put a Bible verse on, or you can't be in the Creationist Science Fair.
Who sponsors the fair?
Could it be any Bible? Does the Bible verse...
I'm sorry.
does the Bible verse have to be relevant?
Most of them were not. Most of them were afterthoughts.
Okay.
It's the Twin Cities Creation Science Association.
Ah.
And if you look at their website, it's hyperbole and it's bravado, and the secular science fairs get it wrong. On the top it says, unlike many secular educators, we teach the scientific method, which includes, I guess, prayer and witnessing.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so it's just for homeschool kids? It's not anyone who's homeschooled, or it's just anyone?
They called it a homeschool science fair.
Okay.
And again, the organizer I was talking to, when I told her who I was and what I was doing there, and I didn't tell her I don't believe in this nonsense, but I think she got the idea.
Uh-huh.
Her first question was, oh, are you one of P.Z. Meyer's people?
Because P.Z. Meyer's has people.
Apparently.
And he sends them to creationist science fairs and mock children.
He's like our Noah, I guess. Are you one of P.Z. Meyer's people?
Yeah. So she didn't want to give me a lot of details, but the impression I got at the fair was very different than the impression I got from the website of what the fair would be. I thought it was going to be much more in your face, and people were going to be belting me with Bibles everywhere I went, but not a lot of that went on. I personally took offense to the idea that a kid has to slap a Bible verse on their display in order to get in, especially if my suppositions are right and that some of those kids were not being religiously homeschooled, but just homeschooled because the parents felt they could do a better job.
If the religious quote doesn't have to have anything to do with their project and isn't even tangentially related, then it's there's no point in requiring it.
Right.
And that if it doesn't relate, then you're just requiring it for the sake of requiring it. It's not relevant to any of the... They discredit themselves by doing that.
Yeah.
And every animal display had the same Genesis quote about how God made all the animals.
So that's pretty easy.
There's something about snails, God made all the animals. Something about dogs, God made all the animals. You know, what's the best way to brush your horse's mane? God made all the animals.
It's like a catch-all verse.
Yeah.
That's Genesis all over. Like, that's the thing about Genesis, is it's a catch-all for everything.
It's an easy, broad brush.
It's like, you know, well, how did it happen in 6 days? Well, what's a day to God? You know, like, there's all kinds of room for...
I had a great idea. We should talk to our friend Jenna Young, who is a Christian, was a guest on the show, Apropos of Nothing. She homeschools her kid, but she's...
She goes to internet school.
Right, yeah. She, I mean... she believes in science and that science is real and the real scientific method, not the one with, you know, prayer and,
but also
witnessing.
Jesus.
Right, but also Jesus.
Yeah.
We should get her to send her kid to the science fair and do, like, the most kick-ass super science project. And then, like, you know, he can put his shitty Bible quote on there. But
the,
like,
Bible quote, and God so loved the world, he sent his only son. Something, like, really
yeah, yeah,
easy.
Yeah.
Like, real easy.
Yeah. But then, like, make it, you know, a super science, actual science,
like,
and just kind of infiltrate.
I like that.
So what I want to know, there was one display, apparently, that actually did try to prove the Earth was only 6,000 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
It was sort of like a roundabout, passive-aggressive Lutheran way to do it, too.
Okay.
And I think you'll actually want to pull the actual text from the article and put it on the website.
Well, we'll link to the article
for
sure, yeah.
Because there are a lot of terrible commas that don't belong and misspellings.
Weird.
Everything that was on this girl's display, and she was an older, she was like 16, 17 years old, everything looked like she had pulled it off of a YouTube comment somewhere.
Oh, boy.
I quoted in the article, she said that, "My hypothesis was, comma, that it would not really take millions of years for stalactites to form. One of my reasons for assuming that is because, comma, at the cave I went to in Wisconsin, the stalactites were still dripping. And wouldn't you think that they would be dry since they had been there for so long?"
Oh, my God.
So that was my hypothesis.
Oh,
I can't.
Oh, that makes me, flames.
The
side of my face.
Just
heaving breath.
That makes me so angry.
So, and her experiment to prove that that stalactites are not that old was she had some string soaked in Epsom salt water.
Sure.
And just over time, you know, that crystallized.
Like, salt crystals.
Like,
sure.
Like rock candy.
Yeah.
And she figured that since that started to show signs of crystal deposits after only a couple of days, that obviously these stalactites were all made the same way, from Epsom salt water and string, apparently.
Well, instead of
limestone.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm sure
right.
She followed step four, and she prayed on it, and God said, "You're right," and so she could move on to her step five success.
We're definitely going to have to put in the show notes the steps of their scientific method.
Yeah.
You know what? I think I want to do a science experiment and follow their 12 steps and see what happens. I think I will do that. That'll be a blog post in the future. I'm going to do that. I would like to see what happens.
Bring that to a scientist friend of ours
and have her go through
that.
I like it. I will follow all the steps. Even the praying one.
Praying?
I mean, I don't do it. I don't want to say it.
I tell you what, I'm probably going to that very same cave because we're going to go to the Black Hills in May. So I'll have to go to that very same cave and see that if I come up with the same idea that she did. I will pray on that, Tim.
Obviously, they would have dried up by now, right?
When they hit
a certain size, there's a valve that shuts off.
The water stops seeping through the ground.
That's science.
I did talk to a lot of the kids, and I really, especially the younger kids, like, I really liked them, and they were doing what they could with what their parents were giving them, so I didn't want to be too hard on the kids. But that girl, I didn't talk to her because I wouldn't have been able to hold my temper. Like, there's so many things wrong.
She's 16
or 17.
Yeah.
There were so many
anymore.
Different
yeah.
things wrong with her. Like, there was nothing right with her science project.
Right.
So I couldn't have stood to talk to her. I'd have gotten too depressed. So
I sincerely hope she goes to college and you know, like a lot of people, when they're that kind of fundamentalist Christian as teenagers, and they go to college and then they end up
they figure
not
it out.
That way, because they actually start to be exposed to other people. And I hope she thinks back on this science project and just cringes internally whenever she thinks about it.
She's,
right?
You know,
she's
homeschooled,
really,
so who knows what her...
It really depends
on
what college.
She's probably already pregnant.
It really depends on what college your parents
want
to go
true.
To, right? Because
there
are plenty of colleges where they will encourage that kind of bad thinking.
That's very true.
That's the scary... I don't want to disparage homeschooling as a basic idea.
Sure.
That I know some people who homeschool their children who are not religious. They aren't doing it for religious
reasons.
They're also
smart.
Yeah, they're smart.
Yeah.
But the people that homeschool their children because they basically want to shield them from... any concept except their broken worldview.
Yeah.
It just creeps me out.
If you are homeschooling your kids because danger, like that's because drugs, you know.
I've got friends that are adult survivors of homeschool.
And
and yeah, I mean, they seem fine now, and they're also atheists. I don't know if that has anything to do with it.
Are they a little socially weird? Do they feel like it took them longer to become...
Yeah, like, they're socially weird. Like, one friend's parents wouldn't let them learn to read because they didn't want them asking questions.
Boy, what? Wow. That's abuse.
Yeah. That is abuse.
That really is.
All I can think of is in the show, the movie Mean Girls, when they're like, you know, I was homeschooled. In the very beginning of the movie, she's like, I was homeschooled, but not in the way you think. And then it shows, like, a bunch of kids in, like, beat-up overalls that are all covered in dirt, and one of them goes, and on the fifth day, God gave man the Colt Remington rifle so he could protect himself from the dinosaurs. And it's just like, that's kind of where my mind goes a little bit. I realize that's not always the case, and you know, homeschool kids
I think of on South Park, the homeschooled kids in the spelling bee, that I don't know if you've seen that one, but they're like, when the one girl, like, spells her word, they're like, spell chair, and she's like, C-C-H-H-A-A, like, into her hands, like, and they're all really weird, like, the two kids,
yeah.
And
they're
like,
all super,
but they're super smart, right. So it's a weird, like, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's, I don't know, it's really cool, I'm so intrigued by this world because this whole creationist, fundamentalist world is so, like, you know, we talked about the movie Religious on last week's episode, and it that whole idea is so, it's so incredibly foreign to me. It's almost worse than any other country. Like, I can't even wrap my mind around what it would be like to live with that.
It's like, well, you have your science, and your science doesn't have a place or an explanation for God. So we're going to make our own science with God.
See, I haven't seen Religious.
You really should watch it. It's great.
It's a comedy semi-documentary.
Recently out atheists definitely need to watch Religious.
Totally streaming on Netflix. You can watch it anytime you want.
I would be doing that then.
You have Netflix.
Or it's on Amazon Prime as well, we discovered. Mm-hmm. You can have science and you can, like, compartmentalize and have your faith in your religion and then have, like, real science that works without making, like, science in big neon religious quotes that's, you know, not real.
You shouldn't have to redefine science to fit your worldview. If you basically say, well, we're going to have to come up with a completely new science because none of the science that exists allows for the world that I believe in.
That's, like, the craziest denial ever.
Yeah. Especially because that's how naturalism and all that stuff actually did start, the idea that the science now doesn't fit what we think is happening. But the thing is, what these people are doing is going backwards. They're saying, like, my mythology book, my 2,000-year-old book doesn't jive with your, you know, modern science, and so we need to redo.
With your 5-week-old paper.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Were you witness to? Were you proselytized to while you were there?
I wasn't. And every time I went to one of the displays and the kid was done with his presentation, I waited, you know, to see if it would happen. And I, at least the first couple I went to, because, like, the kid with the whales who didn't care about anything else,
yeah,
he was, like, the first kid I talked to. So I wasn't expecting him to witness, but I gave him the chance. And then the next kid I went to was a girl about 8 years old who did a cranberries display, just like an enhanced book report on where they're grown, what the ecosystem's like, stuff like that. And that was actually, although there was nothing experimental about it, it was a very competently put together enhanced book report.
Yeah, yeah.
And who doesn't like cranberries, right?
Who doesn't like cranberries?
Yeah.
When the judges went up to her to ask her questions, that was what they asked. Do you personally like cranberries? Like, really? Come on.
That's a
hardball.
Step six. I mean, that's it. Yeah.
What's your Bible verse? Come on, ask her about the Bible verse.
Cranberries grow in a bog. It's awesome.
Like, I love cranberries so much. Every night when I pray, I thank God for cranberries. You win.
Yeah.
So the ones that probably would have witnessed to me would have been the older kids, and I didn't talk to them very much, mostly because I just felt bad. Because if they're older, then, you know, if a young kid is being ridiculous and talking about God, I feel that's fine. I stopped believing in God when I was a young kid, around about the time you stopped believing in Santa Claus. You know, you question it for a few years and you're like, it doesn't make any sense. So I figure they'll find their own way, whatever. But the older kids, I'd feel bad talking to them because I'd either have to just knowingly let them be wrong, or I'd have to be doing, I guess, the atheist version of witnessing, anti-witnessing?
No, no, I know. I see what you're saying. Yeah. And, like, you didn't go... Why would you go to the Creation Science Fair just to, like, be a dick to kids?
It seems antagonistic and asshole-ish, and that wasn't your goal, obviously.
I was a fly on the wall.
Yeah.
I do want to write up another article about the actual organization that puts it on, because I find them much more fiendish.
For sure. What they're doing to kids is abusive. And they're lying to these kids.
The rules being that you have to have a Bible verse, regardless of whether or not you want to put Bible verses in, that seems to me to be really, really devious and wrong. Because it's like, if a kid wants to just do a science fair, they shouldn't have to. Anyway,
part of the scientific method is prayer. I'd like somebody to find me where in the Bible it says that you have to sublimate your own natural curiosity to God. You know, you have to, you know, as part of an experiment, you need to ask God for what? The ability for your experiment to proceed? You know, it doesn't make any sense from trying to think about living in that sandbox. Yeah. And I can't. You know, I wasn't raised fundamentalist. I was raised Catholic, and that was very different because it was hippie liberal Catholic. But I don't understand how that prayer piece becomes integral to learning. How you must ask God for the ability to learn instead of celebrate the fact that we can learn.
Yeah.
You know, and that's pretty fucking awesome.
I could almost see witnessing fit into a scientific method if it was considered a part of the peer review, where you're like, you witness your results to other scientists so that they can replicate your findings and confirm or conflict. And that, I mean, I guess so. It's communicating ideas, so maybe. Well, but the prayer part is, like, completely anti-science.
Yeah. It's messed up.
I really hope you do write more of an article about the, like, going into the organization, like, and looking into them more. Are you thinking about that at all? Like, really, like...
Oh, I am.
Investigative journalism.
I just need to say that I would need somebody to publish it.
So if somebody
otherwise, it's just a blog post by me, and that's not all that credible.
Yeah? Mm.
Sure.
So.
Yeah. Well, that's...
Anyone who's looking for...
Do we know anyone? Hello out there. We should, like,
Minnesota atheists.
All right, well, thank you. We're gonna do our five questions for you. Are you ready?
Yes.
Awesome. All right, so...
I didn't prepare for these.
That's good.
Okay.
Wow. That's even better. So the first question is, what's the best movie you've seen in the last 30 days?
In the last 30 days?
It could be in the theater or at home. Yeah. Any movie you've seen in 30 days that you think was the best one.
And if you can't think of one in the last 30 days, just name a movie.
Or lie.
Yeah. We're really okay with that.
I haven't seen a lot of movies in the last 30 days, but I did watch Final Fantasy Advent Children.
Yeah, sure.
And how was it?
I fell asleep.
So that's probably not the best
in the last 30 days. It is the best film. No,
it's beautiful and the music is great, but it's not exactly
not all of us watch our movies all the time.
It's not exactly thrilling.
My girlfriend is very mundane, so, like, she doesn't understand the obsession with the stuff that's, like, out of our geek culture. So, you know, I'm pointing out Cloud and Sephiroth and she's just like, why is this even important? I take it back. We also rewatched Wrath of Khan recently, which is my favorite adaptation of Moby Dick ever.
That's genius.
And every time I watch that, that's the best movie I've seen.
Did she like it?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Have you seen it before?
No.
See, well, that's good, though.
I think Wrath of Khan is always...
It's
the best movie you've seen in the last month, if you've seen it in the last month. Yeah. So question number two, what's your favorite atheist character?
Spock.
Sure.
Does he ever say he's an atheist? I don't even remember.
Well, Vulcans don't have religion. I mean, that's established.
That is established.
Yeah, religion is illogical.
The original script for the motion picture had some very atheist stuff that Spock was going to be saying, which was basically just Gene Roddenberry using Spock as a puppet.
Mouthpiece,
but
right?
It was taken out of the script before shooting. And it was basically, you know, what kind of a god would create flawed humans and then blame them for his mistakes?
Oh,
that
sure.
That is a great quote. That's kidding.
Gene Roddenberry's image of the secular future. A better place. So our third question is, what's your geekiest hobby? What's the hobby that, like, when other geeks hear you do that, they're like, wow, that's pretty fucking geeky?
Well, I mean, Doctor Who is big among all of us, and especially it's getting bigger and bigger and more mainstream, but I not only, like, have bootlegs and reconstructions of all the lost episodes and all the stuff that hasn't been released, but I proudly brag about it.
Nice.
And a lot of people just don't get why I would.
So friend of the show, Matt Savickle, would get it.
For sure.
Do you have, like, pretty much every, like, any video version of, basically, any episode that you could get version of it, like a one of the what do they call them, the picture I forget what they call them. There's a special name for telesnaps.
The telesnaps.
Yeah.
With,
oh yeah.
With the audio, it's like watching a film strip.
Yeah. Because all they've got is the audio. They have the audio for like every episode, don't they?
Well, because and it's all it because of fans.
It was beamed into space, right? Is that why they got it back? Isn't that?
You're not being serious, are you? although I did make that a trivia question once at my quiz that I do. It was just fans would like dangle a microphone in front of their TV and make audio recordings.
Yeah.
With like their big reel-to-reels back in the 60s.
That's very cool.
They were, you know, when I was a kid, I had a VHS copy of every Doctor Who episode that had been broadcast on Channel 2 because I was the same sort of mindset, but I had different equipment.
Right.
So I totally understand them doing this.
It's it just shows that, you know, if nerds were alive when the Library of Alexandria existed, we'd still all have sketchings of all that stuff.
That's true.
Yeah, yeah.
It's true. I wish we'd come along.
Or at least
sooner.
The Doctor Who books.
All right, Rob, question four. What is your favorite sandwich? And be specific with those details.
My favorite sandwich?
Sandwich.
Okay.
Sandwich.
That would be marble rye with sprouts and a little bit of avocado, some spicy Dijon mustard, lettuce, tomato, and spinach, and maybe some anchovies. But I don't eat much meat. I eat a little bit just to keep my brain healthy, but some anchovies. Maybe.
Interesting.
Wow.
I've never eaten an anchovy in my life, but the rest of that sandwich sounds pretty good.
My mom used to eat sardines out of the can a lot, so like that's like we were forced to eat them, but we never had actual anchovies. Just like sardines and mustard was a big staple in my house.
So anything with avocado on it, I'm actually a big
fan. I love sprouts too,
big
man.
Sure,
man.
Yeah.
I was so mad when Jimmy John's got rid of their sprouts. It was like the end.
Yeah, I know. What was up with that?
Fuck that.
Because they go bad really easily, and they were losing money.
Who gives a shit,
right?
I don't buy sandwiches from them
Jimmy
anymore.
Oh no, Jimmy John's isn't making money.
Yeah.
Oh wait, they totally still are.
Yeah, poor Jimmy John's. Oh,
but you know you can get on a Jimmy John's sandwich. You can get avocado.
Yeah, not guacamole like those fucking Mealy sandwiches. That's bullshit.
No, I don't want guacamole. I want fucking avocado. Just give me some avocado.
I like it sliced on a sandwich, like not like mushed at all. Like just sliced. So you get like a bite of unmushed.
It's a good sandwich. Do you toast the bread? Or would you? Would
not
you,
with marble
would
you, rye, I wouldn't.
Okay. Yeah.
If it was like wheat or whole grain or
sure. Marble rye.
Marble rye is
bread.
Good bread.
That sounds good. All right, last question. As a recently out atheist, you might not have an answer for this, but what is the stupidest or most surprising thing somebody has said to you about your atheism?
Yeah, like nobody was surprised, so nobody's really said anything to me about
sure.
it. I do remember like being a kid, and I don't know if it was just that times were different or that we were all kids and so we all sort of believed what we were told, but I do remember like there was that one family in school who were all out, and like the kids my age were out, and they didn't believe in God. They thought it was total BS, and the other kids would talk about them behind their backs about how they're going to hell and they had to save them somehow.
Yeah.
And I just keep quiet because I was like, yeah, I don't know what's right at this point.
Did they come up with any good plans on how to save them?
No, they were just kids being gossipy. They didn't actually want to solve the problem.
It was just that kid's different.
It's just like...
It was less that they were an atheist probably and more just that kid has something different about him. How can we be children who are dicks? Because children are mean, man.
In my school, there was just the one kid whose parents were divorced and then my parents got divorced. I was literally like the second kid in school with divorced parents. So that was the big thing was like, David Carr's parents are divorced. And I'm like, oh man. And yeah, I can see how like they, and you gossip, like they get together. It's, it's a good word for it. I haven't heard it applied to children before, but they, really that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
Well, where do you think the office workers learn it later on?
Yeah,
right.
That's true.
Yeah, you start in the playground, you work your way to the water cooler. It's the same thing. Same thing. Exact same thing.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here, Rob.
Yeah.
This was a great episode. It was nice to hear about
creationist
science.
We look forward to reading more.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. The article was on Vitamin, right?
It was. Vita.mn.
Right.
Vita.mn.
And where can we find you? You say you have a blog, I heard. And
The blog is just at robcallahan.net. Okay. I also write for L'Etoile, for Vitamin. Occasionally, like, Maxim will pay me to write something for him.
Mm-hmm.
It's never stuff that I tweet about, go read this. It's always, you know...
Secret
I won't
shame.
Say anything more.
It's pay the bills.
Yeah,
I will not talk about an employer.
It's over already.
Yeah. But yeah, it pays the bills.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, you wrote a... We'll link to it. There's an article that you wrote in L'Etoile just this week. Were you going to wrench that?
I was just going to say
that. All right,
that.
You say it.
Too late. We'll link to it. It's a good article about convention season in Minnesota.
Con etiquette.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yep. All right. Well, thank you, Rob. And once again, this has been Geeks Without God. You can find us on Facebook and on Twitter. It's how you would think. And you can always send in your answers to our 5 questions. Send them to 5questions@geekswithoutgod.com. Email any of us. And yeah, have a great day. Bye.
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 Come see Tim and Molly perform with the Rockstar Storytellers March 13th at Honey.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Need more Geeks Without God? Go to our website, read our blog posts, find us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks Without God. Social media!
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
I didn't always have this glamorous exterior that's so fetching, apparently.